The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel of St. Luke in the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 1.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil had said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to you when I will, of whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Amen. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be ever acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redemption.
Amen.
You know, electricity is a wonderful thing. You can't really explain it, but we use it. I mean, it lights up the darkness. It brews coffee for us. It even is used in cars, you know, Priuses. And we use it for life support in the hospitals. Electricity is a wonderful thing, but we really don't know what it is. We use it, but we really don't know exactly what electricity is. But it has wonderful benefits. Okay. In the church life, we do what is called the exhortation, as printed on the bottom there, about twice a year, three times a year. I can't count. And sometimes you wonder, why do we even talk about the exhortation? And we can do a little teaching about it a little bit. The church over a period of time has seen many different changes. I can remember when I was first ordained, we celebrated Eucharist twice a year, Christmas and Easter. It was that significant, that holy, and that people had to be interviewed and okayed to be able to take it. It was that much of a thing, because right here in the first paragraph, we say, if you intend to come to the Holy Communion of the Body and Blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, you must consider how St. Paul exhorts us all diligently to examine ourselves before we presume to eat of the bread and drink of the wine. It was that big a deal. Now, over time, we started celebrating the Eucharist once a month because we begin to see the need for something to be important in our lives, need to translate it on a more regular basis. And over a period of time now, we have come to the point of saying we celebrate it every Sunday and any other time that is appropriate. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, when he was talking about examine yourself carefully Because if you receive the Holy Sacrament with a truly penitent heart and lively faith, there's great benefits. Corinth at the time was a city gone wild. Las Vegas on steroids. Okay? I mean, Las Vegas by itself is enough, but it's Las Vegas on steroids. And what had happened was that people were celebrating the Eucharist as an excuse for a party. They were drinking too much, eating too much, totally misunderstanding everything that it was about. So Paul writes to Corinth and says, wait a minute, you need to understand something, that this is a very important action experience in the life of a believer. The benefits are great because they include everlasting life, includes peace, forgiveness, assurance, and absolution. But if you take the communion, and he goes on to say, if you take it unworthily, in other words, if you mock what this really represents is the life and body of Christ, you know, the blood. If you take it with an attitude of, oh, it's just wine and bread and it's nothing else, then he goes on to say that your actions condemn yourself, that you take it to your own condemnation. So he goes on and says, you need to judge yourself before God judges you. You need to judge yourself according to God's commandments. It is better for you to take stock of yourself and come before the Lord with true repentance and a spirit of faith than it is to let God make that judgment on you without you thinking about what's going on. Because the condemnation that's going to follow is horrible. So when Paul says, if you drink and eat this unworthily, the condemnation that comes from that is horrible. So you need to take stock of yourself before you do this. Well, that's reasonable. We go through our liturgy in the whole process. We do the confession. We do the absolution. We try to take ourselves and get ourselves truly penitent before we approach the Eucharist. It's reasonable. It sounds good. Yeah. And as we go through it, we look at it and we say, okay, it talks about if you have offended, if you have offended either by thought, word, or deed, to make sure to confess to God before you take it. Now, how do we translate that today? If you have offended by word, that's probably self-explanatory. You've gotten into a wordy argument. Maybe you've taken an anger stance that used some words against someone. For example, driving. Someone cuts you off, the anger that goes out is unreal. But that anger presents a barrier to you and God. So Paul says, you know, let's be repentant of our anger. Let's try to make things right. If God's going to forgive you, you need to forgive. Because the benefit's great. And what's the benefit? Life everlasting. But it's also life beginning. When we as Christians come to the table, we get our lives renewed each and every time. We get to see a little part of the kingdom now in preparation for what is to come. We're ready to forgive. We're ready to make things straight. He goes on to say that if you've got a troubled conscience, you need help. Well, we can't go to Paul, but we can go to someone else. He says, go to a priest. Go to a priest. Go to somebody that you respect who is godly and work through the issue and accept forgiveness and absolution, and then go to receive. And he said, this is an act of God's love. His love so great for us that he gave his only son so that we might be redeemed. And when we participate in this, we see the redemption of the world is possible through the Eucharist. It's not possible. It is not possible through Congress. It is not possible through any eco movement. The redemption of the world is not possible by our own hands, only by the hands of God. And what is happening here is God established a new covenant. And when we eat the bread and drink the wine, we participate in a mystery much like electricity. Electricity works, but we really don't understand it. But we know how to make it work. Do we understand everything here? This is a mystery where we become part of Christ and Christ becomes part of us. Don't understand how that happens. Don't understand the workings in it, but we know it happens. And therefore, we get life renewed. And new life comes out of this covenant that God puts before us. And it's not just, you know, the old covenant was for the Jewish people. This new covenant is for the world. And God initiated it and he keeps it going. It has nothing to do with us. So that's the good news. And then we come forward and participate in it. Now, earlier I said, when we were talking, it was and has been pushed that if you're upset, don't come to the table. Because you need to restore and get things right. But you know, sometimes we don't have the strength to do that on our own. So I'm going to tell you, come to the table for the strength to do what you need to do. Christ is here for you. He loves you. God loves you. This is instituted by God, not by a man. This is instituted by God. So let him give you the strength to do what you need to do. So if you're at odds, you want to make amends, but you just can't do it, come in and participate in the life that Christ gives you so that you can do it. And then come back to celebrate and give hearty thanks for the salvation that came about. The Eucharist is a very practical experience of God at work in our lives with real power. Put your fingers in an electric socket and see power. Come to the table and see the power that Christ gives us. We have it, and the world needs what we have. So when we have the opportunity for someone, we can tell them, let me tell you what God has done for me. I don't know what he'll do for you, but other than give you a chance for new life, everlasting life, but here's what he's done for me. And then they can make their own decision. You tell them the story. But in the Eucharist, we rehearse Christ's passion, his death, and his resurrection. and we go through the whole process. This is good news. We used to do it, okay, back in the Stone Age when I was fresh out of the seminary, every time we did the communion, we read the exhortation. Now we do it 3 times a year. It's still just as powerful. It's still just as meaningful. It is worth it. So come celebrate Christ. Come celebrate God. Come celebrate everlasting life and each other and the love that God has for us all. Amen. Amen.